This morning we're going to go into a very familiar story in our Bible, and that is Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 through 7. Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1 through 7. Can I ask Jeremy to read it out loud and slow for us, please? Thank you. We know that in the Garden of Eden, Adam was given five duties. The first one is that the Lord asked him to populate the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. The second duty is that they are to subdue the earth. And then the third one is they are to exercise dominion over the animal creation. As it mentioned in Genesis 1:28, that they are supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that creeps on the earth. And the fourth duty is that they are to take care of the Garden of Eden and be able to enjoy all its fruits. And the last duty, the last command from the Lord is they are to refrain from eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And failing that, they will face the consequence of death. Because as it is said in Genesis chapter 2, 16, it says, "In there the Lord God command the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day you eat of it you shall surely die." Now we are all familiar with this story, but this morning what we want to do is, from this story we want to learn some very important lesson from it. We know that the only thing God asked Adam not to do is not to take the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But this is the very thing that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And that's the story we're familiar with. So the question we need to ask is, what happened when we refuse to listen to the voice of God? What happened to us when we refused to take heed to the word of God? The first thing that would happen to us is, when we refuse to listen to the voice of God, we begin to listen to other voices. That would bound to happen. When we take the word of God lightly, or even worse, when we turn off our listening ear to the voice of God, we immediately open our ears to the voice of man, the voice of the world. In fact, the voice of the world will become louder, and eventually it will deafen God's voice. We know that today there are much noises in the world. from the moment you wake up to the moment you hit your bed, the whole day you've been hearing a lot of noises, the noises from the world. We are constantly being bombarded from the suggestions of the world, from your radio, from TV, from your friend, and I can tell you, usually Satan is behind these voices with one purpose in mind. And that is exactly what the devil did to Eve. He wanted to set us up for a fall. When Eve began to listen to the voice of the serpent, and when Adam began to listen to the voice of Eve, his wife, in total contradiction to the voice of God, they actually result in falling away from God. We know that the Lord Jesus at one time asked his disciple, who do you think I am? And of course, Peter gave a very inspirational answer. And then immediately after that, the Lord began to tell them that he is to suffer many things from the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and die, and on the third day rose again. As soon as Peter heard of this thing, he rejected this message of the cross. He cannot accept the fact that a glorious king, a mighty savior, would have to go through this kind of sufferings. Now, as soon as he reject the cross, as soon as he reject the voice or the commandment or the message from the Lord, the voice of the devil, Satan, immediately came to him. And in fact, we know that he became the devil's spokesman, because he said, he said to the Lord, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. He was used by the devil in this case. So when we refuse to accept the word of the Lord, when we refuse to hear the word of the Lord, we will immediately hear the voice of the devil. That's the first thing. The second thing is, when we refuse to listen to the voice of the Lord, we are easily deceived. We are easily deceived. Well, you think that you are smart and you will not allow your life to get messed up. You think you know better than anything else, that you're not going to allow your life to go the wrong way. But in here, let me tell you, this is a big mistake, a wrong conception. We know that Satan is smarter than you. Satan's title, he is the deceiver of the world, and that is in Revelation 12. He is the devil, and that is in Matthew 4, chapter 4. He is the father of lies, and that is in John 8. He is the ruler of the world, and that is in John 12. He is our adversary, and that is in 1 Peter 5. He is our accuser before God, and that is in Revelation 12. You can, when you think of all the titles that he possesses, when we are not holding onto God's voice, Satan, when we are not holding onto God's truth, Satan will cause you to doubt God's word. And Satan will try to, in here, confuse Eve with the question, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman Eve said to the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, you shall not touch it, lest you die. Now Eve did not listen to God's voice carefully. God never mentioned anything about touching or not touching. the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She just add to it. She, in other words, is just simply a casual reader. She hasn't been taking the word of the Lord seriously. Now, the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." In here, not only that the devil twisted God's words, he has caused Eve to doubt God's good intention, suggesting that God is holding back something good from her. When we refuse to listen to the voice of God, we will easily be deceived. You know, today, peoples like Jehovah's Witness and whatnot, they are very cunning. They can change a comma in a sentence, and it will immediately turn the original meaning of that sentence to the other direction, to fit their doom teaching. And that is why in First John, the Apostle John instructed the children of God that if anyone come to you and does not bring the teaching of Christ to you, we are told that we are not supposed to receive them into our house. Not only that, we are told that we are not supposed to even greet them. For the one who give him the greeting participate in his evil. And that's in 2 John 9:11. Today we know that especially young people, they like to surf the net. Okay, they go into the internet and there are tons of information. And I am amazed these days that there are so much wrong information in the net, especially when it comes to the identity of Christ, Christianity, and all of those things. And so we need to be careful. The devil is very deceptive. You know, sometimes you go into a site and at first when you look at some of the material, it seems to be pretty okay. And later on, as you go on, and you find that there is just simply something not quite right. When we're not listening to the word of the Lord, we can easily be deceived. And it's just like Eve in here. She thinks that God may be holding off something good from her. But Romans 8:32 reminds us that God, who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Today, I know that there are also some Christians who started to observe the rules and ordinances of the Old Testament. And some of them observe it to such an extent that they end up bringing themselves into a kind of a bondage, which the Lord actually has set us free when he established that new covenant with us. The Lord tells us that the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Many a times, there are something on the surface seemingly to be good to us. And as we pursue it, unknowingly we come into its bondage. And we stray away from what the Lord has originally intended for us. He paid a heavy price to establish this new relationship, to give us this new covenant, so that we have a new beginning before God and us. And many times we go back to the old way. We want to be enslaved by those rules and regulations once again. When we refuse to listen to the voice of God, or when we take the voice of God lightly, we will easily, unknowingly deceive by the devil. when we refuse to listen to the voice of God, the third consequence is that we choose to live independent of God. Before Adam and Eve sinned, God has always had a close relationship with them. They are co-worker with God. And the Lord has would bring his created animal to Adam, and he would name them one by one. The cattle, the birds in the sky, and the every beast in the field. Adam always depends on his creator God for his daily living. Now, the serpent suggested that if you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Eve felt that the tree was desirable to make one wise. When we refuse to listen to God's voice, our pride comes into the way. I can live independent of God. I can be as wise as God. In other words, I can handle my own life. I want to have my own way. That's what the meaning of taking that forbidden fruit. Brothers and sisters, if that be the case, this is the beginning of the fall, just like the prodigal son. The prodigal son was enjoying the providence and protection of his father when he stayed in his house. But then again, unfortunately, he joined the wrong crowd. He started to listen to his friend's advice. What was the advice? It was something like this: leave the old man. Come, live your own life. You can have much more fun doing it this way. They can even say, take a look at your older brother. He is taking care of your father's business, but he's not happy. So why are you staying around in here? Just go. And the younger son heeded the voice of his peers and departed from his loving father. And we know the tragic end of his life when the prodigal lived on his own life. Now, where is our Heavenly Father's spiritual house today? It is represented by his church, the body of Christ. We need to live among brothers and sisters for our spiritual life to grow. We need to keep ourselves, in other words, in the body of Christ, so that the rich supply of God, when it comes down, it will come down to you from the head. When we refuse to listen to God's voice, we will eventually be drawn away with our desire, wanting to go our own way. I remember years ago, I did stray away from the Lord, from the church, because I joined the wrong crowd, wrong friends. Now, I want to clarify this. Not that those friends that I befriend with are smoking pot or gambling or any of those things. No. I mean, those friends that I buddy with, they are really, you know, a good person. Okay? And but their aim is not toward God. Their aim is toward worldly success. And because I got so close to them, unknowingly, I strayed away from the fellowship. I strayed away from the church. That's not good. You see, when that happened, it did not happen overnight that all of a sudden I disappeared from coming to church. No, it's just bit by bit. It become more infrequent. My attendance in church become more infrequent to the end that I just disappear altogether. And it's because I joined the wrong crowd, worldly people. with worldly interests, with interest that is on everything except God. That's what I end up doing, just like my friends. When we refuse to accept the voice of God as a rule, we gratify our flesh and not our spirit. This is the fourth point. What is our flesh? It is the fallen nature of our soul. What is our soul? It is the real you, the I, the me. And as we have known, it consists of the three things, and that's our mind, our emotion, and our will. Before Adam's fall, God's order in creating man is this: man's spirit governs the soul, and the soul controls the physical body. After the fall of man, for the unsaved souls, for those people who do not come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it is their corrupted body reigning over their soul, and the spirit is dead. When a man is born again, for those truly born again Christians, the Spirit of God enters and quickens their spirit. And the work of our salvation today while on earth is to allow God to restore this proper order in us. And that is to allow the Spirit of God, who dwells in our spirit, to govern the soul, and then the soul controlling the physical body. When we refuse to listen to God's voice and start to listen to the voices of the world, we ended up gratifying our flesh. 1 John chapter 2 tells us that do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. The serpent tempted Eve on all of these three points. Eve saw that the tree was good for food. Now, there are so many other good fruits in the garden that can satisfy her needs. Why on earth would she want to pick the forbidden fruit? This is the lust of the flesh. Eve saw that it is a delight to the eyes when she saw that forbidden fruit. We like to look at beautiful things. And this is the lust of the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. Why did Eve want to make herself wise? Why does she want to do that? Does it mean that she wanted to be smarter than her husband Adam? Or does it mean that she wanted to be as wise as God? What is it? It is the boastful pride of life. I know that I remember many years ago, Dana Condon once mentioned that there are many hooks of this world hooking away God's children. What are those hooks? By the way, those hooks are a seemingly normal thing. Those hooks are education, career, culture, even sport, or going into business. All these things are normal and are good as long as we put God first, front and center. As soon as we refuse to listen to His advice regarding to this pursuit, all these things all of a sudden will lay a hold of us. And the end result is that we end up gratifying and exalting our flesh. We end up suffering spiritually and physically. When we refuse to listen to the voice of God, the fifth point is, we begin to make excuses when we fail. When we refuse to listen to Him, it is because we want to put ourselves first. It is always this big I that is front and center. It is always this me, me, me. And as soon as we messed up our life, this big I, this big me, will run for cover and try to hide under whatever excuses we can come up with. That's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve when God asked Adam if he had eaten from the tree of which he was commanded not to eat. Adam answered, listen to how Adam answered. He said, the woman you have given me to be with gave it to me, and I ate. You know, in here, the excuse from Adam was awful. First of all, he blamed, of course, Eve for giving him the fruit to eat. But more than that, he is also blaming God for giving him a wife. In other words, he blamed everybody, including his creator, but himself. When God asked Eve, what is this that you have done? Eve said that the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Again, making excuses for her own failure. Is this the condition of us when we fail? I know that some of you are sort of, as Sam said, in the middle of final exam and whatnot. And God forbid, if you fail your grade, you will then say, well, you know, it is all because of that stupid teacher. He doesn't know how to teach. Or we'll say that, well, you know, I failed my grade because the subject of that paper, that examination paper, did not cover the area that I studied, so I failed. Or I failed because of my parent. I failed because of my friends. Or I failed because I have a difficult boss, I have a difficult husband, a wife. We make excuses all over the place. We come up with a million reasons to explain why we messed up. And none of these reasons has anything to do with ourselves. Now, some are a little bit more honest and better. And they will say that, well, okay, I am partly to be blamed, but he or she is the main cause for my mess. Okay, so I mean, that's a little bit better, but it's still not good. Now, the worst reaction to our own failure is that one may think in this way. Adam just took a little bite of the forbidden fruit. What is the big deal about his failure? I mean, it's just one innocent bite of the fruit. What is the big deal? If we take it lightly when we fail God, the consequence of our failure will even be worse than anything we can imagine. For example, take a look at Saul, King Saul. God asked Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites, and Saul disobeyed the voice of God. He and his people spared King Agag, and on top of that, he also spared the best of the sheep and oxen. When Samuel pointed out his sin, he made excuses, saying that the sheep are to be used to sacrifice to the Lord. And he looked lightly on God's commandment, thinking that there's nothing wrong keeping the best of the spoil from his victory. He looked lightly in God's word. For God's word, Saul finally admitted his failure. But he was not too regretful. Many a times you can see the politicians out there when they make mistake and they found out they have to say sorry to the public, to the whole world. We know that those admissions of guilt oftentimes are without remorse. And what is God's verdict? for Saul? Samuel said, has the Lord delight as much in burnt offering and sacrifice than in obeying the word of the Lord? Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king over my people. Brothers and sisters, when Saul refused to obey the voice of the Lord, he not only that he lost his kingdom, not only that he lost the kingship, he eventually lost his very life. We know that from the Bible. This is a very serious matter that we need to pay attention to. What is our right attitude when we messed up? We should humble ourselves before God. We should admit regretfully of how we have wronged and hurt our heavenly fathers, how we have wronged and hurt our brothers and sisters and others. Just like the prodigal son, when he came back to his father, he confessed his sin by saying, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. This should be our attitude before God when we fail. When we refuse to listen to the voice of God, brothers and sisters, we suffer the consequence. The Bible tells us that what we sow is what we reap. There is the cause and consequence effect. When we decided to shut out the advice of God, God has clearly told Adam that in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And indeed, that is exactly what happened that day. When he sinned, he by nature became a sinner. And as such, he died. He died spiritually immediately that day. And he began to die physically as he started to age. He and his wife were taken out of the Garden of Eden. In the past, they could always have close fellowship with their Creator. Now, when they hear God's voice, they were afraid. They hid themselves from the voice of God. When God said, where are you? They had to hide themselves from the presence of the Lord. Previously, God, who provided and protected them, now they will have to labor hard to feed themselves. God told the couple, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat your bread till you return to the ground. They have lost all their privileges. And as each day passed by, they will be one step closer to their grave, the physical death. Brothers and sisters, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh and from his flesh will reap corruption. For the one who sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. When Adam and Eve had a bite of that forbidden fruit, they sowed to their flesh the sin of disobedience against the commandment of their Creator. And therefore, they reap corruption and death from their sin. The Bible tells us many commands that we need to observe, that we need to obey. But many a time, we just ignore them. We will suffer the consequence of that. For example, the Bible tells us to honor our parent. And if you do that, all will be well with you, with a plus benefit of long life. But if you ignore that commandment, if you do not honor your parent, then your end result would be similar to that of the prodigal. When we refuse to listen to the voice of God, the seventh consequence is that others around us will suffer with us. Those people around us will suffer with us. There is one thing that to this day I'm still puzzling when it comes to this familiar story. And my puzzling is this. When the serpent talked to Eve about the forbidden fruit and whatnot, why did Eve not go and discuss this matter with Adam? Why did she not do that? It puzzled me. I mean, this is such an important thing. That's the only thing that God asked him not to do. And if Eve is not so clear or not so sure about the thing, why would she not discuss and share this with Adam and talk to her husband? I think this is one of the sign of those one who want deep in his heart to rebel against God. If you find yourself unable or unwilling to share something that you have decided that you wanted to do with those one who loves you the most, something very wrong in there. You better stop. Do not continue to proceed down the road that way. Something is very wrong. Why did Eve not talk to Adam? There's no fellowship, no discussion. She just wanted her way. And again, why did Adam just simply took the fruit from Eve and not talk to God? We know that the Bible tells us that Eve was the one who was deceived, not Adam. But Adam went along with Eve. That's the problem. Adam got dragged into the mud together with Eve. Now, I'm not suggesting that Adam is a little bit better than Eve, but I mean, both of them, they sinned against God. And the consequence to the fall of Adam and Eve, not only that they suffer, the whole humanity, the whole human race suffer with them, because from Adam and Eve comes every other human being who ever lived upon the face of this earth. Since Adam became a sinner, every human being descended from him is a sinner, just like you and me, except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in our 10:30 class, I asked the group a question. What makes a sinner? Is it because one sin, then you are a sinner? Or is it because you are a sinner as a result you sin? And of course, the answer to that is because we inherit the sinful nature from Adam and Eve. That is why we are a sinner. It's not because we sin and then we become a sinner, but we have the sinful nature that we inherit from them, from our ancestor, that we are sinners before God. Because of Adam's sin, death entered into the human race. Romans 5:12 tells us that therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin enters into the world, and death through sin. And so death spread to all men because all sin. It is just like a mother who is conceived, but she has eight, and that eight just simply pass on to the baby. You know, that nature, that disease just simply pass on to the next generation. Now, from a day-to-day point of view, when the husband and the wife divorce, not only that they themselves suffer, but their children suffer the consequence of their parents' mistake. And by the way, the parents will also suffer because of their decision of their disobedient son or daughter. People around us will suffer because of our own mess, because of our own failure. The children of God will suffer when their spiritual leader fail to listen to God's voice. There is always this cause and effect of our failure, and it will always hurt those one who love us most. It will hurt those one who are closest to us. Finally, what is the greatest loss for Adam and Eve after they sinned against God? What's the greatest loss? We have mentioned seven so far, but what is the greatest loss? That they have lost the enjoyment in the Garden of Eden? That they have to labor hard from this point forward to feed themselves? Or that Eve will have to suffer greatly in giving birth? That they have to die and return to dust, as God said? No! The greatest loss of this fall is that they have lost the opportunity to eat from the tree of life. They have lost the ability to fulfill God's original intent for man. God created man in his own image to have dominion over his creation with the purpose of manifesting his power, beauty, wisdom, and honor of the Creator. Now, as a result of refusing to listen to God, instead of subduing the earth, they were subdued by sin, and they have actually become slaves of sin, and they have missed God's best for them. That's the saddest thing of all. You know that Judas, the disciples of the Lord Jesus, could have been sitting together with the other 11 disciples in the throne of Christ in glory. The Lord Jesus treated Judas just as kind, as loving as the other disciples. In fact, the Lord Jesus gave him the money back to keep, to manage. And even all the way to the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus washed his disciples' feet, the Lord, knowing that Judas was going to betray him, the Lord also washed Judas' feet. Unfortunately, for some lousy 30 pieces of silver, he betrayed his Lord. He was so close to become one of the greatest apostles of the Lord God, and yet he missed God's best for him. Do you know when did Judas finally make up his mind that he wanted to betray his master? Do you know when that point, when was that turning point? When did he finally make up his mind? It was after Mary anointed Jesus with a 300 denarii ointment that he decided to quit following the Lord. He probably said to himself, following the Lord Jesus does not pay. I'm not going to get anywhere among men if I continue to follow this guy. This was the same way with many Jesus followers of his day. They followed the Lord Jesus because their stomachs were filled. But when Jesus said to them that he is the bread from heaven, that his flesh is good for food, that his blood is good for drink, and those people, when they heard of all these things, they just could not take it.
Besides that, all these talks, spiritual talks, are not practical. They cannot accept these things. They fail to see that Jesus is the real treasure of the world, that they can obtain eternal life by believing and accepting Him, and their spiritual life will become more abundant if they continue to stay with the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus indeed is the giver of life. Adam has missed the tree of life and thus missed God's best. Today, we will also miss God's best if we fail to listen to Him and follow the Savior. As many of His followers try to withdraw, and because they would not want to walk with Him anymore, the Lord Jesus asked His disciple, "Do you also want to go away? Do you also want to leave just like the multitude who are leaving Me?" Simon Peter answered the Lord, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For You have the word of eternal life." Through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, Peter all of a sudden discovered and saw that Jesus is the treasure of this universe. Jesus is God's best. It's the best God can ever offer to man. Jesus indeed is that tree of life. I want to say it again. Jesus actually is that tree of life. Where else can we go? He has the word of eternal life. He is the tree of life. We would not want to miss this great opportunity, would you? Brothers and sisters, God has a great plan for you today. Are you allowing God to fulfill His purpose in your life? Or are you refusing to listen to His voice and miss God's best for you? If only you would listen to His advice, you would have been greatly blessed by Him. You would have experienced this more abundant life that God promised to those who follow Him. Now, after Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, God was calling out to Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" We know that God is the all-knowing God. He's the all-powerful God. He knows actually where Adam is hiding. But why did God still ask, "Where are you, Adam?" We just mentioned that the consequence we will face if we refuse to listen to God's voice. We just mentioned 8 of them. But, brothers and sisters, have you ever tried to get into God's feeling when we fail? Have you ever think of God's feeling when we fail? When we fail Him? When He say, "Where are you, my child?" This is not only a call of disappointments, but a call of grief, a call of sadness, a call of yearning. There is a deep yearning in God's heart because His child has now gone astray. Prophet Isaiah cried out what is in God's heart in Isaiah chapter 48, 18 to 19. It says in here, "All that You had listened to My commandment, that Your peace would be like the river, that Your righteousness like the wave of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, and the offspring of Your body would be like the grains of sand. Their names would not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before Me." Do you know how much the Lord desires that we will only listen to Him, to His voice, so that we can fulfill the purpose He has in us? God showed, when we fail Him, God showed so much emotion. When we fail to listen to His voice, He earnestly hoped that we are not like the stiff-necked people who wander in the wilderness for 40 years. He eagerly desired that we are like the nation. He eagerly desired that we would not be like the nation of Israel, who forsook their God and worshiped idols of the world. And this is the cry of the Lord against them. In Psalm 81, 8 to 14, God says, "Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you. O Israel, if you will listen to me, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice. They would have none of me. So I gave them over to their stubborn heart and walked in their own counsels." Verse 13. "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel will walk in my way. I will soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversary." We can see in here that God is so eager that we listen to His counsel, listen to His words. 2,000 years ago, God sent His only begotten Son to convey that message to us. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But the Lord Jesus was rejected by His own people in His final days in His ministry. When the people rejected His voice, He lamented over Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophet and stoning those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather you as a hen gather her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." This is a deep sentiment from our Lord, expressed toward the rebellious people of God. And after the Lord finished her work, His work on earth, He ascended up to heaven, and now today the Holy Spirit is sent in among us. And the Holy Spirit continued this mission, crying out to men to listen to God and live. Brothers and sisters, are you listening and obeying that still, small voice that speaks to your heart every day? Are you carefully following the guidance every step of your way? Or are you carelessly doing whatever pleases your flesh and leaving the Holy Spirit to grieve inside of you? But this is not too late to start. The Lord still gives us opportunity, as it is said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See to it that you do not refuse God, who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned them on earth, much less shall we escape who turn away from God, who warned them from heaven." What are the 8 consequences when we refuse to listen to the voice of God? Let's do a little revision. Number 1, we begin to listen to other voices. Number 2, we are easily deceived by the devil. Number 3, we choose to live independent of God. We want to go our own way. Number 4, as a rule, when we reject the voice of the Lord, we gratify our flesh, not our spirit. Number 5, we make excuses for our failures. Number 6, we will definitely suffer the consequence. What we reap is what we sow is what we reap. Number 7, those people who are close to us, those people who love us the most, they will also suffer because of our stiff-neckedness. Number 8, and this is the worst of all, we will miss the tree of life. We will miss the best God has provided for us. I think God, when I was seeking before the Lord about today, I think the Lord has placed this thing to me because someone in here, or maybe all of us, need to listen to this very carefully. So don't take this thing lightly. There are serious consequences in our life that we, if the Lord is speaking so loud and clear, and if you still become so hard-headed, and you want to just head down your own way, it really breaks God's heart. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we lift this message in your hand. We pray that you will use this familiar story of the failure of Adam and Eve to once again speak to our hearts. Lord, soften our hearts. Do not allow us to continue to reject you. Lord, you have spoken. We pray that you will give us a heart, a softened heart that can hear, a heart that would be willing to yield to you instead of continue to insist in our own way. In your precious name we pray.